Our scripture this morning is probably familiar. It's a short story in the Gospel of Mark. Mark's not the only one who tells it. As usual, Mark's is kind of the simplest version of it. So let me read this for you. This is from Mark chapter 4. Listen to these words, but more importantly, listen in these words for what God might say to you. That day when the evening came, Jesus, said to the disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up. He rebuked the wind, said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Then he said to the disciples, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified. They asked each other, "Who is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him?" The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, in the midst of our own lives, perhaps our own storms, show us again the one of whom we ask, "Who is this, that all obey him?" In his name we pray. Amen. So this is a familiar text. I think most people are kind of know this text if they've been in church. But it tends to be, I think, that kind of text that isn't mentally familiar. In other words, people don't remember it because they've studied it. They don't remember it because they had it in a Bible study or a class. They remember it because it's kind of experiential. It's a visceral kind of story. It's emotional. The idea of a storm, and in this case, a literal storm. Storm, I think, in Scripture is bigger than that. It often means the other kinds of storm in our life, but this is a real storm. And the disciples are in real danger. Water is coming over the side of the boat. If you've ever been in a situation even remotely like that, that's a scary time. I happen to be at church by myself a week ago last Friday when the wind kicked up, and I don't know how it was where you were. Up here on the hill, it was pretty good. Our recycle bin went by about 5 feet off the ground past my window. I looked outside and thought maybe I ought to head down to the gym for a little while and hope for the best. Those are scary moments, and those are just the physical storms. But as I said, those aren't the only kind in our life. We have emotional storms. We have spiritual storms. We've all been there. There are very few lives that at some point don't have to navigate rough waters. In fact, maybe none. And what sticks, now the reason I think this passage stays with us so much is that it gives us this image where in the midst of that terror, in the midst of that fear from the disciples, Jesus is doing the strangest and in some ways the most Jesus thing to do. He's asleep. And the disciples ask him literally, "Don't you care?" And that's the storm question. Right? Many of us in those storm moments have asked that very thing from waiting rooms, from nursing homes in the face of accident or illness. Why doesn't Jesus care? Doesn't this matter? Are you sleeping? It's a natural question, and all disciples at some point, I think, ask it. And it's behind the question where we find the struggle of the text. And it's the struggle between fear and faith. Now, I've preached this passage before. Michael and I have preached this passage. Faith and fear, that's the battle going on in this text and the battle going on in our lives. And faith and fear have a unique relationship, like a teeter-totter or a balance beam. Wherever there is more of one, there is less of the other. Whenever one goes up, the other, by definition, has to go down. More of one is less of the other. And the disciples, on the fear side, they want Jesus to join them. They want to bring Jesus, they invite him into their fear. Sort of human nature, the old saying, misery loves company. There's truth to that. They want Jesus to step inside of the fear with them. Have you ever known a person who goes from okay to crisis immediately? There's no in between. They just jump from everything's fine to everything is not fine. And if you've worked or lived with one of those folks, they can be a little exhausting. It's not always easy. It's not, we're out of coffee. It's, we're out of coffee. And if you're not a crisis person, you say something like, well, it's more in the cupboard, or we could go to the store. But what they're doing is inviting you into crisis. Misery loves company. And I'm not criticizing, because that is easy for all of us. We are all tempted, and we all have a tendency to focus on the problem in front of us, and like the disciples, look past the Savior that is with us. To make life about the storm moment rather than the mission. The disciples want to pull Jesus into their fear, which is what fear does. It wants to be contagious. But instead, Jesus invites the disciples into his peace. He challenges them. The words sound harsh to us, but Jesus says, why are you afraid? Which is a kind of interesting scene to imagine. Jesus wakes up, maybe he's a little groggy, he looks around, waves are coming over the boat, it's dark, lightning, wind, all the rest. And he says, what? And they say, Jesus, look. And he says, ah, that's nothing. The implication is, did you forget who I am? Do you not remember who's in the boat with you? That's what fear tends to do. It makes us forget our blessings. It makes us forfeit our peace. At the end of the story, we realize Jesus isn't sleeping because he doesn't care. He's sleeping because he isn't afraid. And there is a world of difference if you understand it. In fact, so great is Jesus' peace that it speaks over the storm, and the wind and waves obey it. But maybe more importantly, Jesus speaks his peace over the disciples. Jesus speaks his peace over us. In our own storms, we are invited to his peace instead. Jesus will share our hardship, but he will not share our fear. He will not share our anxiety. He invites us instead to move to peace. And there's a lot to learn from this text, though admittedly it is hard to remember in the midst of a storm. Though it's a rather simple lesson, keep your focus on Christ rather than crisis. Look to Savior instead of storm. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Open our hearts to peace rather than fear. And honestly, that's most of the text. And really, that's most of the sermon. Though don't get your hopes up, we're not done yet. Because today we ordain and install elders and deacons. And so I found myself wondering this week, is there a word here in this text for leaders? As we install a new class of leaders and servants at First Press, is there a word in this text for them? And I think there is. I was sure of it. I'm less sure of it now, but I think it's here. It's not the one I expected. I thought the word was that I would say to the elders and deacons, be at peace. I thought I would tell our new officers, don't get caught up in the little church things that distract us from the big kingdom things. Don't let us pull you into crisis. You pull us into peace instead. Don't let the institution and the congregation draw you in and distract you. We want you to share the peace of Christ with us. I thought that would be the charge. But I realized that's unfair. No offense, elders and deacons. None of you are Jesus. It's not your peace. You don't have that to give us. He does. None of our new officers are unaffected by the fears and the crisis in the faith, in the face of life's storms. And it's not okay for us to expect them to. So I realize instead that all we can ask of our officers is to try to do what the disciples didn't. And what we often don't. Keep your focus on Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on Him. Work to bring faith and not fear to your discussions and your duties and your decisions. Yes, on one hand, you are only doing what we are all trying and called to do. On the other hand, if you can do it, you help us do it. You model it for the rest of us, not as the one who gives it, but as the ones who receive it and trust it. And you show us what that trust looks like. You show us what it looks like to have faith. And through you, we see something of Jesus Christ. We are grateful for everyone in this congregation. We are thankful for all of our leaders, our elders, our deacons, and others, for all they've done, for all that they do. And to those who take their place today, we pray that you will each help guide us through the challenges and the struggles of this family of faith without getting overwhelmed, without being afraid, without letting us draw you into crisis when we forget, when we run around like headless chickens, to embrace the peace of the one who has called you to serve. And as you serve, may your eyes and hearts and minds be fixed on Jesus Christ. May you be filled with faith and therefore unafraid to lead and to serve. And in doing so, may you be an example to those of us who see you and point us toward Jesus Christ as we serve together, never forgetting who is in our boat. Because it's not what is on the outside, ultimately, that matters, but who is on the inside. May we serve Him together. May we have more faith and less fear. And may He receive all the glory. Amen.